Would you turn with me today in your Bible to Psalm 62? Psalm 62. And we're looking today, I want to read verses 1 through 7. Psalm 62 from the New King James Version, verses 1 through 7. This is what the word says. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. This is the word of God. I want to talk this morning from the topic, how to wait on the Lord. This psalm was written by King David at one of the most troubling seasons of his life. Scholars tell us that this poem was penned during the time of Absalom's rebellion against his father David. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, we find the narrative of the rebellion. Absalom, impatient to become king, slowly and methodically, through lies and deceit, manipulates generals and the public to support his coup, and by military forces rebels against his father. The text says that when David got word of the impending attack, he fled Jerusalem with all of his household. When David wrote this psalm, he had been running and hiding for months. He is physically exhausted, publicly embarrassed, emotionally torn between preserving his throne and preserving the life of his rebellious son. David writes this psalm when he's in a hard place. David is in trouble. It's a difficult time in David's life. Now, we may never experience a situation like David does in this season of his life, but we know what it's like to be physically exhausted for the constant struggle of living in challenging times, because we have been indelibly altered for the past 12 months. We may not know the despair and desperation of someone pursuing us to take our lives, but we know that the COVID virus and its various strains remains unchecked, an indiscriminate killer that has permanently changed our way of life. We may not know the emotional burden of having to choose between preserving a throne and preserving the life of one of our children. Notwithstanding, we have suffered the immense emotional toil that began in March 2020 and has followed us into 2021. And it is for that reason that we turn to Psalm 62 this morning for a word from the Lord on keeping composure in threatening times. David is going to teach us how to wait on the Lord. Would you focus in, zero in with me on Psalm 62, the first verse. Truly, David writes, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. This psalm lifts for us a lesson that says, in life's most threatening times, you and I will be at peace if God alone is our refuge and our salvation. That God is our only security, and that our faith must be firmly anchored in him. On the other hand, if you place your faith in anything or anyone other than God, then you are guaranteed that you would be disappointed, dismayed, deceived, and disappointed. Nothing can give you the joy and serenity and peace and contentment that God can give through Christ Jesus. We lift David this morning as an example of one who has found peace in the midst of an ongoing crisis. Verse 1, truly my soul waits for God. From him comes my salvation. Now, you know I like to pick verses apart. The first word is significant, truly. Placed at the beginning of the sentence, it signifies that in spite of all that I'm going through right now, I have absolute confidence of that which is going to come. Truly. It's assertive, meaning it introduces with emphasis the expression of the truth that follows. Truly. It's like you and I have been talking about something and then we want to express a truth, a fact. We might pause and say, but honestly though. Or in some vernacular, one might say, but for real though. Truly means in fact, without doubt. It means he's not playing. Thus is not for a show. He's not trying to impress anybody with what he's about to say. David says, truly, my soul silently waits for God. It's the truth anyhow. No matter what I'm going through, truly, my soul waits for God. My exterior does not reflect the condition of my soul. My outward appearance might be tattered and torn, but my outward appearance is contrary to the facts of life. My soul, truly, my soul waits for God. Truly, a fact, without doubt, my soul silently waits. First point. The soul is the part of the human being that connects us with God. Amen. You were born again of the Spirit. The Spirit has taken up his permanent residency in your life, and that Spirit connects you to God. And so if you're born again, if you're a Christian, if you have the indwelling Spirit, it is that Spirit alone that connects you to God. The soul of the man is made alive by God alone. The soul is where the activity of God takes place, and only the life of the elect is connected with the life of God. David's soul and ours is made alive to God by the power of God. In other words, there was a spiritual connection between David and God that was in place before the time of his crisis. And the reason you and I can be at peace in life's most threatening times is because we have a connection to God. And many of us had a connection to God before trouble came in our lives. And so we have a connection. When you believe God made us alive in Christ, you were recreated. His Spirit, the pneuma, gave us new life. You were born again of the Spirit. It is the soul made alive that brings us into contact with God through our sincere connection with God. And he inspires our confidence to trust in God. Here's what David says. My soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. David speaks of the silence of his soul. The silence of his soul. This silence is composed submission of the believer when he humbles himself in the presence of God. This silence comes as you reflect on the promises of God, as you internalize the word of God and yield to the sovereignty of God, as you suppress your own inward murmurs and dissatisfaction. You understand what I'm saying? Sit silently before God. Cancel your thoughts and your anxieties. Sit silent before God. He has committed to the cause of God. He has embraced the goodness of God, the mercy and grace of God, and his soul, his innermost being, is calm and without apprehension. Can you get like that? At the heart of his peace is ultimate confidence and trust in God. His confidence in the Lord is so strong here that he makes no prayer requests. He is silent. He's not asking God for anything. He's already prayed. As a matter of fact, Psalm 62 is one of the Psalms where there is no prayer. David has already prayed. He's prayed and he's prayed about his situation and then he prayed some more. He has already poured out his heart before God before he gets to Psalm 62. And we know that prayer is necessary. Conversation with God is crucial. We ought to have a prayerful lifestyle. We know something about prayer. I know that you know the power of prayer. You've prayed about your situation and the privacy of your prayer closet. You've prayed with your family. You've prayed the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. And you know that the Bible says that it availeth much. You have prayed in your prayer circles. You have prayed on the church prayer line. You know that God has heard your prayers. And now, from personal experience, you know that God hears and answers prayer, but now David says, I'm just waiting. While we know that we ought to pray earnestly and often, and that we ought to pray without ceasing, this text teaches that when you trust God and have confidence in him, there comes a time when you, like David, can take comfort in knowing that God will act in his own time. Then our soul silently waits for God, free from anxiety, confidently waiting for God to move and come through. David knows that God will come through. God has come through for David on many occasions. When David was keeping his father's sheep, a bear and a lion came to take up the flock, and God came through. When he showed up on the battlefield, Goliath threatened the armies of Israel, God came through. When Saul tried to take David's life, God came through. When David pretended to be insane before King Abimelech, God came through. On every occasion in David's life, God came through. I dare say that all of us can testify that when you needed God the most, he came through. When your heart was broken into pieces and you didn't think you could survive, God came through. When your soul was grieved beyond measure and there was no comfort for your hurt, God came through. When your back was against the wall and you couldn't see your way out, God came through. When you needed him most, God came through. He may not have come when you wanted him to do something that you thought you needed him to do, but you discovered that when God comes through, he's always on time. He comes through. And because God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and because God does not change, I want you to be confident this morning that you can trust God even in your situation, because God will come through. You can give God some praise right there. David implies that because I know I can trust him, I'm not worried. Amen. It's not looking too good for me right now from my perspective, but my soul is anchored in Jesus and my confidence is in him. And I have made my request known to him, and I know he will come through. And so it's messed up for me right now, but my soul silently waits. Then he says, David says, my soul, he speaks of the stillness of his soul. First he speaks of the silence of his soul, then he speaks of the stillness of his soul. His soul silently waits for God. He has come to an end of his scurrying about. He recognizes his powerlessness to change anything. He has already done all that is in his power to do, and nothing about this situation has changed. He realized that he has to ride this storm out. And so he drops his faith anchor in God. What do you do when you know you got to ride the storm out? What do you do when you've done everything there is to do and there is nothing else left? Here's what David did. He dropped his faith anchor in the Lord. When the winds of life are blowing you around and the waters of life are beating in on you and you feel battered and bruised and hurt and can do nothing about it, David said, go ahead. If you belong to God and if you trust in him, go ahead and drop anchor in the Lord. You can close your eyes in the midst of your turbulent situation and drop your faith anchor in the Lord. David has learned to be still, to stop moving around. We see in Psalm 46:10, David admonishes us with words from God. He says, be still and know that I am God. To be still means to quiet your spirit from anxious anxiety. You know, you could be laying on your bed and not still. You could be lying on your bed and physically still, and inside can be churning. David says you got to learn how to be still, how to quiet your spirit from anxious anxieties. To be still in God's presence means to stop frantic thoughts and movement, to cease all efforts, to take a deep breath and be still. There are some times to get moving, and then there are some times when you just got to wait on the Lord. The first time we see this phrase in Scripture is in Ephesians, is in Exodus chapter 14, where the Israelites have come out of bondage in Egypt. And now they're at the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army rapidly approaching from behind. The people were excited, filled with fear and anxiety, and there was nowhere to go. Mountains on both sides, the Red Sea in front, and trouble from behind. Moses says to the people, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall accomplish for you today. My brothers and sisters, there are times in life when you just got to be still. You just have to drop anchor in the Lord and just be still. The prophet Isaiah says it like this. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. My brothers and sisters, be still and wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David, and this has resolved that even in the midst of his trouble, he's going to be still. And we can have that same resolve. David says, truly, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. So David speaks of the stillness of his soul. He speaks of the silence of his soul. And here, finally, he speaks of the salvation of his soul. He says, my salvation comes from him. Salvation in this text, in this context, means for David deliverance from his enemy. His hope is in God, and God does not disappoint. David makes this same point that God is his salvation, and he does it by driving home the fact in Psalms 27. Listen to what he says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came up against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I take comfort. God worked it out for David, And God will work things out for you and I. Since God alone is your salvation, you need not fear. God is your salvation. God in Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus saves. He has saved our souls from destruction, and he gives us peace. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus saves. Have I got a witness this morning? There is no other name given among men whereby we can be saved except the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, his name was called Jesus because he saves his people from their sins. In life's most threatening times, you will be at peace with God if God alone is your refuge and your salvation. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he's my shelter in times of storm. I'm glad that since he's my Savior, no weapon formed against me can prosper. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, you ask that question, and here's the answer. It doesn't matter who's against us, because in the end, God will prevail. An amen goes right there. From him comes my salvation, and he is my refuge. Whatever you're going through today, cheer up, my brother. Cheer up, my sister. Live in the sunshine. God is our salvation and the ruler of every nation. He revives our soul. He restores our hope. He reassures our faith. He rekindles our fire. He removes our fears, and he rebuilds our confidence. Jesus saves. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The songwriter says, be not dismayed. Whatever betide, why? God will take care of you. Where are we to situate ourselves? Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. How many of you believe that God will take care of you? How many of you really believe that God will take care of you? He will take care of you. God will take care of you all the way through every day. God will take care of you. He will take care of you. Amen.